This is the PT Pinecast.
All right, this episode is focusing on finances, loan repayment programs, and just being financially literate. We brought in a couple of experts. These guys are specific experts in finances and student loans. Heather Jarvis from AskHeatherJarvis.com and Kevin Soner from iGrad.com. Take a listen if you have any student loans, which pretty much is all of us. The first round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for physical therapists looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, plus the equipment you need to apply it. Find out more, plus a schedule where you can take a course at OwensRecoveryScience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting. This is the PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Heather Jarvis, I want to welcome you to the show because you're going to talk about something that I think the audience gets a lot of misinformation. A lot of those, I heard from a friend who had heard it from a coworker who read it on this website, this one place that I can't find anymore. And it's all about the thing that we come out of PT school with, and that's loans. But I want to talk about you first, Heather. Your background, briefly describe how you became an expert in student loans.
Well, Jimmy, I really came upon this expertise in the natural way by borrowing a boatload of money to pay for my legal education.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So my sister and I are first generation college educated. So our family had a lot of, you know, respect for education, but not a lot of cash and not a lot of knowledge about money. So I got this big fancy education without fully understanding what it would mean to I borrowed $125,000, and, you know, 20 years ago, that was pretty precocious. I know nowadays people are like, yeah, whatever. Everybody who goes to graduate or professional school does. But it's really brought home for me how just convoluted and complicated the student loan programs are. It's really my goal to make education more affordable for everyone, not just the rich. And that's why I chose to focus on the student loan relief programs.
Cool. And I want people to know where they can find more about you in case they have some questions throughout this episode and want to follow up. It's AskHeatherJarvis.com. And I love that about section that I read on your website. Really just kind of tells your story. Went to Duke University Law, knew how much you were going to owe, but didn't really realize, oh yeah, I'm pretty much going to be paying this back forever and ever, looking at 3+ decades. What does that mean? And I guess when you sign those papers as a 20-year-old, 22-year-old, do you really understand what that means? And if we can give you some information, like Heather can, maybe we can set yourself up to paying back less money.
Exactly. That's the plan. Because, you know, I think the hardest thing for us to know when we're signing those loan docs, Jimmy, is just how interest adds up over time. You know, so you think you're borrowing one amount, and you are, but you end up paying back a lot more.
I'd love to have a bunch of cash floating around. I just graduated from PT school 2 years ago. I'd love to have all that money right now and just give it back so I wouldn't owe any interest, but that's not the way the world works. But there are programs out there, and that's why we had reached out, that allow some people to do some things to have their loans either reduced or forgiven, and that's kind of what I alluded to in the intro to the show, which is there are these programs out there that I feel like people get a lot of misinformation, or they just don't get the whole picture. And that's where I wanted to bring you in so we can make sure people get it straight from someone who does this as an expert. So I wanted to lead off with the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. What is it, Heather?
So Public Service Loan Forgiveness is a federal program that can be super generous for the right kind of folks. So the key to Public Service Loan Forgiveness is that you must make 120 air quotes, qualifying payments on your federal student loans. And for a payment to be a qualifying payment, you have to make it on the right kind of payment on the right kind of loan while you're working in the right kind of job.
Wow, it's like three little parameters that you got to hit all three. Okay, so where do we start in figuring that out?
Well, when it comes to physical therapists, the right kind of job are going to be those in government employment. So, for example, like with the VA, or those in a nonprofit that's structured as a 501c3. And that's going to include a lot of hospital work because most hospitals are organized as nonprofits, but not all. What it will not include for physical therapists are any of the for-profit practice settings in which people work.
Okay, so now we know what settings. Are there specific loans? You kind of alluded to that. You'll be able to qualify under this program.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So only federal direct loans are eligible for public service loan forgiveness. Most of the loans that recent grads have will be federal direct loans. But if you're somebody like me who attended school some time ago, you might have an older kind of federal loan from a previous program. It was known as FEL by its acronym. FFEL just stands for Federal Family Education Loans. So if you're someone who has loans from before the year 2010, you may have some extra steps to take. You'll need to do some more research and investigation. But if you only started borrowing after the summer of 2010, all your federal loans are already direct loans and eligible. But to the extent that folks may have those private student loans from banks and private lenders, those unfortunately are never eligible for public service loan forgiveness.
Gotcha. And you say you had to make certain payments. What does that mean? Because now we know what type of job, what type of loans, but you mentioned what types of payments, and you use those air quotes for 120.
That's right. So a student loan borrower must select an eligible repayment plan. There are many that you can choose between, and they're all known by the umbrella term income-driven repayment plans. So under that umbrella term are several different eligible plans. There's income-based repayment, pay-as-you-earn, revised pay-as-you-earn, and any one of those plans could be best for a given person. What will not qualify are payments that you make under some sort of long-term repayment plan, like a graduated or extended plan. So look to enroll in and stay in an income-driven plan if you're seeking public service loan forgiveness.
So is that because if you go to the extended plan, you're, number one, you'll be paying a lot less, so ultimately the government will be paying a lot more when they forgive your loan?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it, and that's why the program was structured as it is. It's essentially trying to get at a need-based evaluation of some sort. You know, you basically have to owe enough on your loans that if you make payments that are set by your income, that you still owe something after making those payments over at least 10 years, because it takes at least 10 years to make 120 qualifying payments.
Got it.
You can only get credit for one payment per month.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. So we've covered the public service loan forgiveness. Is there anything else about that you'd want the audience to know before we move to something else?
Just one more thing, which is that if you do successfully get some forgiveness of your loans under public service loan forgiveness, that forgiveness is not taxable as income to the student loan borrower, which is fantastic. But what people are often confused about is that there is another loan forgiveness program that the federal government offers. It's not based on public service. In fact, it doesn't care what sort of work you do. And it takes a lot longer to get that long-term forgiveness, 20 years of payments driven by income. But that long-term forgiveness that is not tied to employment, that results in a taxable forgiveness to a borrower. So it's important to recognize the distinction between the non-taxable public service loan forgiveness and the taxable long-term forgiveness.
Got it. So what other payment programs are there or loan programs to help people who have borrowed big amounts of money to do great altruistic work like physical therapy? What else is out there?
So there are sources of money for people with student loans, and they include sort of broad categories. One place to look for money is from your employer specifically. So some employers of physical therapists, whether they be health services that are structured in various ways or any kind of employer, could have and operate their own internal program. And those programs are coming online more and more often lately. So that's worth investigating. There's another federal program that can help some physical therapists. The National Institutes of Health has many loan repayment assistance programs. Many of them exclude physical therapists, but in particular, there's one that is available for people doing research. So if your focus in the field of physical therapy is research, you might be able to benefit from that National Institute of Health program.
It's good to know.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last thing just in that regard, Jimmy, is that some schools will have their own programs for their graduates. And so check with your alma mater to see whether or not such a thing is available.
It's amazing how many of these things are out there and how little I feel like myself, and I know a bunch of people that I've talked to, know about this. And I think the problem is we know just itty bits that we get from people in passing, whether in clinics or in school environments or after we've graduated. And then you either run with that little bit without knowing all of those caveats or, you know, the hoops that you've got to jump through, just the things that you've got to know. And that's where the misinformation comes through, because it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, what compounds that problem even more is that the system itself is overly complicated and convoluted. So you can't just get, you know, a drip and drab of information here and there and have it be, you know, accurate and useful.
What else should someone know either before, while they are a student, and then after they've graduated? One thing they can do to set themselves up for better financial success after having these loans?
Well, I would say that the top tip I have for your listeners is know your loans. Because we all have a confusing array of different kinds of student loans with different options. And if you can be very clear on your own circumstances and the specific inventory of your loans, that is what will set you up for success in approaching repayment, whether you're on the hook for all of it yourself or whether you might be able to shift some of that burden to the institutions.
And moving just 1 or 2 or 3% of those giant loans can make a big difference after 20, 30, 40 years.
It really can. It's striking how much more one of us borrowers can pay just based on the decisions that we make as we go along. And, you know, the kind of first principle of debt management is to remember that, you know, interest grows over time. So the longer it takes you to repay debt, the more you will pay.
Scary. Like the information. Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, Travel PT all across the 50 states. Heather, where are you located geographically?
I'm coming to you from Wilmington, North Carolina, living the dream.
Can't complain about North Carolina. Our sponsors, what they do, Heather, is they find PTs jobs all across the U.S. That's all they do. You can find out where you can work, where you want to work at AURESmedical.com. And they have some information about housing, how to find health insurance through those programs, 13-week assignments or long-term. Find them at AURESmedical.com. Heather, are you ready for three questions?
I am. Let's do it.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
So you're in North Carolina. Where else in the country wouldn't you mind doing some student loan expertise if you had the chance?
You know, Jimmy, I love my hometown of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Ooh, there's really no place like it for the hot and spicy food that I love.
Never been, but I've never heard a bad thing about Santa Fe.
Yeah, it's quite a beautiful mountain town. Little touristy, but that's part of the fun for us locals to, you know, kind of poke fun at the tourists.
Arias has positions in all 50 states, including Santa Fe. Question two, what's something that you read that really inspired you?
I read something recently about the founder of Mother's Day, who actually shares my name, might be some recent, some long-distant relative of my husband. And her plan was to protect the family and advocate for children by creating Mother's Day. And I thought, well, that's pretty inspirational.
Yeah, I like that. Final question on three questions. Who is someone the audience should know more about? Maybe somebody that's really inspired you, whether they be somebody who's got a high profile, just somebody who's really good at their job and flies under the radar.
You know who is really good and has done a lot of important work is Richard Cordray, who is the immediate past director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And I care a lot about that agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, because it does things like try to protect, you know, regular people from banks and, you know, financial practices that can be difficult for us all.
That's cool. That's a cool person to admire. I like that a lot. All right, you're off the hot seat with three questions. since we have you here and you're a student loan expert, what can someone get when they go to AskHeatherJarvis.com? Talk about some of the things that you provide for individuals and for large companies or universities.
Yeah, so for individual student loan borrowers, there are many free tools on my site, really a compilation of the best stuff online. So there's a lot of self-help material out there, and some of it's great and some of it's not so great. So the good stuff is easily accessible through my site. I work with universities and employers and professional associations, so folks that have that kind of involvement can look to see the sorts of training programs and professional development services that I provide. Because my goal, Jimmy, really is to get a lot of other people trained up on the details of this stuff so that we have really more of an army supporting the needs of student loan borrowers instead of just the occasional person here and there.
It's a lot of information, like you said. It can get really convoluted. And look, you know, as a person who went into physical therapy, I wasn't a loan expert. You know, when you start using too many financial financial terms, I kind of, my eyes glaze over and I'm like, okay, I understand you know what you're talking about, but you might have lost me, you know, a sentence or two back. So I'm glad that there's someone out there like you educating universities, associations, professional advisors to make sure that information, that's really what it comes down to, right? It's that information to get out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, information really is power. And so that's the way we need to approach these things. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you as a physical therapist, your expertise is entirely different. And you don't want to become a financial professional, I assume. And so we need to rely on each other, you know, and get somebody who knows what they're talking about. But, you know, that reminds me of one more thing I would love to say, which is that your listeners should be very careful about who they might get help from, because there are also some, you know, not so great folks out there trying to take advantage of people. So it's just like with any other pro that you would hire, you need to do your vetting and make sure that you're finding the right sort of match.
Like that. The free tools, information, you've kind of vetted that stuff for borrowers on your website. Again, it's askheatherjarvis.com. I appreciate you taking your time out. Is there an email address, or what's the best way for someone to contact you?
Right through that website, askheatherjarvis.com. Got a contact form there. I'd love to hear from people.
Perfect. Heather, appreciate your time today. Thanks for making even someone like me get the programs you were talking about.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices, regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Our next guest is the VP of Operations for iGrad, a parent company of the Enrich Financial Education platform provided by the American Physical Therapy Association to their membership. Spent most of his professional career serving the higher education audience in financial aid, student housing, and now personal finance education. Welcome to the show, Kevin Soner. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, so we talked earlier in the episode about finances and the federal loan forgiveness program, and wanted to bring you on because, well, your background is in specifically this: higher education, financial aid, student housing, and now personal finance education. So real briefly, describe what iGrad is, and then maybe touch on Enrich and how that plays into to the same parent company.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, I started off in the financial aid industry many years ago with a bunch of my current coworkers, including our CEO that started the company iGrad. When we were in the financial aid industry, it was great. We were helping students fund their education, but we gained visibility to an unfortunate fact that a lot of students were blindly taking financial aid without really learning all the details about what is a loan, what are interest rates, how does it impact them, not knowing how long they had to repay back, just really not learning all there is to know about it. And that kind of snowballed into realizing that it wasn't just that they weren't paying attention to their loans, they just in general weren't understanding and weren't paying attention to personal finance. So we started off in the higher education space working with schools to try and tackle that problem. And that's where the iGrad platform came into place. Some of your listeners may have gone to schools or maybe going to schools that have their own dedicated iGrad platform just for their school. While we're in hundreds of campuses across the country, from community colleges all the way up to Ivy League and everything in between. What we decided to do is we realized it was great that we were serving the general higher education community and we were attacking some of that student loan knowledge problem. It wasn't just student loans. It was the underlying concepts of budgeting to be able to have money to make the payment on your student loan and everything from there. Understanding credit, what are bank accounts, great, I've left school. What are all these things I'm getting offered on for my job compensation? Like, what is a 401k? How do I evaluate job offers? Because it's more than just the salaries. There's so many financial questions that students aren't prepared for. And that's when we developed the Enrich product as kind of a transition from being a product that focuses on while you're in school to focusing on everything that comes after. Because if you think about it, school is only a few years.
Yep.
And the rest of your life is a lot longer and a lot of financial decisions to make. And
you get that email once a month after school to remind you of that fun time in PT school.
Exactly.
For a long time. We've had on the show people talking about health literacy and how PTs can inform the general population. That's one of the things that's really in our scope of practice that we do really well and we should do more of in terms of health literacy. But financial literacy, as you alluded to, is not something that PTs or maybe just adults in general are very strong on. I wanted to throw out some information I found in an APTA article on a 5-question financial literacy quiz developed by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Millennials exhibited, quote, very low levels of financial literacy. Only 24% of them got 4 out of 5 questions correct, compared with almost half of baby boomers when they took that same question. What changed? What do you think the difference is? Where do we fall short now versus a few years ago?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. One is just a kind of a social taboo of talking about money, where back in the day, it was tighter-knit communities. People were more living around their friends and families. There wasn't social media and all these other kind of mass communication and widened networks. With that, you felt more comfortable because you knew the people that you were talking to, and when you had problems, you could discuss those. And so as we've evolved as a society, there's created this taboo about talking about money, and more importantly, is the unfortunate negative of talking about your problems. So when somebody is like, I don't know how to manage my money, they don't feel confident saying that to somebody and seeking that guidance. And then just a general lack of resources and not knowing who to ask that question to, even if you are comfortable. If you look back when we were in our younger years, the general concept of what was taught in school, home ec class. I talked to my nieces and nephews. There's no classes like that that are being offered. Everything is trying to be so advanced, where I have a 8-year-old niece that was taking Mandarin Chinese, which is great that she's learning a new language, but we're excelling to some of these high level things at such a young age, and we're dropping some of the foundational skills that used to be taught.
She can speak Mandarin, you know, by the time she graduates, but can she balance a checkbook? Does she know what a checkbook looks like? I mean, I know you can do everything digitally, but we're missing some basics here, I guess, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, we've tried to jump too far ahead and forgot about the foundation.
This hurt my head reading this. I'll give you a couple things. In a survey, 73% of undergraduate and graduate students thought that Sally Mae was a person and not a company. That's scary.
Yeah, and some of these things, it's not necessarily the fault of those individuals that are answering those questions.
It's the system.
A lot of it
changed.
To do with the system, right, and the processes, and again, we try to get more efficient. We try to make the time from when you apply to a loan to the time that you receive your funds as fast as possible, because everybody's got so much to do. Everybody's on a deadline. I need it today. And another side effect of modern efficiency is those things that you gain in the process of reading through a document before you sign it versus scrolling. There's a lot of things that can get lost.
Don't just click that I have read terms and agree and click and just to get to the next screen. But look, man, I'm guilty of that too.
Oh, we all are. Yeah, and especially in the digital age, all these things happen online. There's a box that's about an inch tall with a scroll bar that feels like it goes forever.
Right.
And you just scroll, click the box and move on.
All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about two different groups of people. You know, let's do three. Before you get into PT school, what can we do to set ourselves up for financial literacy and hopefully financial success before the PT school even starts?
Well, the most important thing is for everybody to understand that it's not all about loans. You always want to file your FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, because there's a common misperception that that is just your application to get federal loans. But filing that also is how you file for need-based aid. So you might qualify for some grants. You may qualify for some low fixed interest rate loans that are only based on need, subsidized student loans where the interest isn't accruing when you're in school. And there are some of the kind of financially beneficial loans and other things that you qualify for. But there's so much more than that. Applying for scholarships. We've found over the years working with students that the vast majority of students that aren't getting scholarships will admit that they've never even tried to apply for one. They just, in their head, they're thinking, I wasn't the top of my class. Like, there's this misperception that scholarships are based on academic excellence. And it's really interesting. My nephew just graduated from high school last night, and it was really cool because at their graduation, they don't have the valedictorian speak. They have Mr. X, like, named after the school. And the way that it works is it's about being that well-rounded individual that
right.
serves in the community. They do get good grades. They're obviously not going to pick somebody who's failing out of school, but by no means tops in the class. And they look at all these other things. They treat their fellow students well, and they're in extracurricular activities. And so it's really important to understand that when you look at scholarships, there's scholarships out there that they're not looking at anything in the past. It might be an essay contest. Write an essay about a certain subject, and it's a creative writing challenge. There's photography challenges. There's all kinds of things out there that might be based off of your hobbies and your skills and the things that you're great at. And you don't have to worry about, is it based on my grades?
Yeah.
And for those that are excelling in their grades, because a lot of people that are advancing into PT school probably are really strong students, there's lots of things out there. And it's not just what comes to you. You got to go find it. A little bit of elbow grease at the beginning, and you can find a lot of quote unquote free money
right.
to help pay for your education.
I mean, look, I launched this podcast kind of prompted by a scholarship prompt to actually win a residency scholarship, which I wound up winning. But really, I was going for third prize, which was a Fitbit, because I was a PT student and I had no job and no money. My mom's birthday was coming up. So I entered that contest to win the Fitbit, to give it to my mom. And I won the whole dang thing by accident.
Exactly. You never know until you try.
You never know. Okay, so scholarships, not impossible. They're all over. We're making sure you apply for FAFSA. Anything else a pre-PT student can do to find some of that found money?
The other thing is just going back to basics and thinking about the kind of old school concept of saving up.
Yeah.
So if you know that you're going to be going to a higher level of school, you need to start putting away some of that paycheck, realizing what is the benefit of putting in a little bit of extra time when they get to PT school. Their time is going to be so much more demanding.
Right.
There's going to be so much more asked of them, and they're not necessarily going to have all that free time to maybe have that second job. You'd be amazed at waiting tables 2-3 nights a week and getting an extra $100 a week in cash that you can stock away into a savings account. You think about it not being that much money, but when you think about the fact that if you save up $2,000 to go towards your education versus borrowing $2,000 that's going to earn interest over 10 to 15 years of you paying it back, that's $2,000 versus well more than $2,000 when it's all said and done.
Wow.
And it's that no amount is too small to cut down on your borrowing.
I like the way you look at that. Okay, so that's something you can do before and as you enter into PT school, because as you mentioned, once you're in there, your attention isn't necessarily on those loans. It's to make sure that you absorb the information, you stay in school, you do well there. Anything a student can be doing in PT school besides saving money and kind of maybe being a little bit frugal, because that $2,000 borrow can multiply, like you mentioned?
Yeah, the biggest thing is paying attention to what you borrow and what do you actually need. One of the most common misperceptions among students once they hit that borrowing stage is they fill out all their paperwork and they receive their award letter that tells them how much they're eligible for. And they just assume, okay, I'm eligible for X thousands of dollars. And they just sign off and say yes.
Because you feel like a rock star, man. You're about to get paid.
Yeah. And you get this big check and it's like, oh, they think, quote unquote, the loan people, they think I need this $5,000 check to make it through the semester. So $5,000 must be what it costs me to get through the semester. And some of that money is going to go to going out to dinner with a friend. Some of it's going to go to the new 4K TV that just came out at Best Buy and things that aren't part of your education. And most importantly, they're wants, they're not needs. And realizing what is that true value. One of the base concepts of financial literacy is understanding the future value of money in terms of purchasing things on credit. If you have an interest rate, the actual cost of something is much higher than the sticker price when you get it. And with loans that you're paying off over such a long period of time, it's much, much higher. So realizing what is that money for? That should be pay your education, your actual fees directly to the school, and your minimum things you need to survive to get through that semester. Make
sure
you can eat, make sure you got a roof over your head, but you're really being putting yourself into a long-term hole if you're using it on all that kind of extracurricular fun stuff.
No PlayStations.
Exactly. And part of the problem is a lot of students don't realize that after they get that check, they can return it. And that's another thing. Even if you're smart and you say, I'm only going to spend what I need, if you just hang on to that money, the whole time that you're hanging on to that money, interest is accruing on it as a loan. So if you sit, if you went through the semester and you still had $1,000 of that left, and you're like, oh, when my loan comes due, I'll just pay it with this $1,000.
You owe more.
Yeah, you're going in the right direction because you're not spending that money.
Right.
But if you actually went back to the school and said, hey, here's $1,000 I didn't need, then it's like that never existed and it never earns interest.
Gotcha. This podcast is completely self-serving, and I want to focus on this last group, which is people who've already graduated and we're already paying back the loans, which is me. What can somebody who's already graduated, I'm already in the paying process like a lot of my colleagues, what are some things we can do to help reduce that financial burden, maybe increase our financial literacy?
Well, when it comes to your student loans and your financial aid debt, the number one thing that we try to kind of spread awareness about is income-based repayment and income-driven repayment. It can be a little confusing and a little intimidating because right now, over the years, there's evolved four different income-based repayment options with federal student loans, and there's seven total payment options. So it can get a little confusing, and sometimes people just kind of back off from it.
Yeah.
The most important thing to understand is that just at the highest level, income-based repayment. No matter what position you're in, you can have your payment based off of calculations that determine an appropriate percentage of your discretionary income. For a lot of people, and they get really surprised when we tell them this, your actual scheduled payment could be zero. So if you get onto an income-based payment plan, if you happen to be right out of school, maybe you're in a residency, maybe you're serving in a low-income area, going for that public service loan forgiveness, your income might be low enough based on the amount that you've borrowed where they'll actually say, your scheduled payment is zero. Send us nothing in your considered quote unquote on time.
And what does that do to the interest, or how does that work?
Well, the interest does accrue.
Okay.
The interest does accrue. And you don't have to, you can always pay extra. That's the most important thing. And that's one of the great things about having all these different payment options is all you're doing is getting a lower commitment. And if you want to be aggressive, you want to save up, and you're saying, you know what? The government says I don't have to pay anything, which is great because it takes all the stress away from me.
But
I have $50 this month.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw that in there because I'm going to keep that interest from accruing. The other aspect is, and this is really big because I know a lot of the PTs out there are going for that forgiveness program. The way that the forgiveness program works, as I believe we discussed in an earlier part of the podcast, you get forgiven whatever you have left after 10 years. So just make sure you don't go on a standard 10-year plan or there's nothing left to forgive.
Right.
That's probably the biggest.
Right. Or you're paying more than you maybe should have for those 10 years when you could have been paying a little bit less when that was forgiven.
Exactly. So just kind of knowing your long-term plan, knowing your long-term strategy, and also looking at your short-term of what is realistic. And never put your head in the sand. You have your loan servicer. There's so many options between the payment plans, being able to put your loans into deferment, putting your loans into forbearance if you don't qualify for a deferment. And if there's one thing that somebody that's in repayment takes away is don't worry about all these terms and what all these options are. It's just call your loan servicer as opposed to skipping a payment.
I got you.
Always something that can help you out.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't have Kevin Soner, VP of Operations for iGrad. So if I've got more than a few loans and I'm looking at them, they've all got different interest rates. And let's say I inherited money tomorrow. Let's say somebody gave me $10,000. Should I dump that $10,000 onto the loan with the highest interest rate? Should I spread it around, or should I just hold on to it and kind of pay all my loans on schedule? What's the best way to get that loan reduced as quick as possible?
Well, there's a lot of different schools of thought on that, and a lot of it's going to have to do with kind of your sense of risk and adventure.
Sure.
If you're looking at it from the purest kind of repayment strategy concept, I come from the school of thought of you take your highest interest rate loan and you start paying that one off first with anything extra you have.
Extra.
You make your minimum payments.
Right.
Make sure everything's on time, and then every penny you have extra, you pay that highest interest rate loan. Now, based on just standard math, that's the strategy because that's going to pay it off fastest over time. One of the other schools of thought is more of the psychological school of thought, which is whichever one has the smallest balance is what you start paying extra for.
This way I have one less loan.
Exactly. And it gets you motivated and it gets you excited of, oh, I used to have four loans. Now I've got three. So The theory is, yes, if you consistently are making those extra payments, going for the higher interest rate one first, mathematically is the fastest. But if you lose the motivation to keep that up, then you won't necessarily continue okay. that plan. So the other strategy is mathematically incorrect, but it's more motivationally driven.
I like how you're playing math and psychology, because we are animals, and we're gonna go for both of those schools of thought at one point or another.
Well, yeah, and people are driven by different things. Some people are more number crunchers and kind of analytical driven. Some people are more emotional. And,
gotcha.
And so go off of what's going to drive you to the end game.
I like it. iGrad.com is the website for iGrad, and enrich.org is the Enrich program, is where you can find out more information. Love talking about this stuff, and by love, I mean, well, I like knowing about it, but it's always good to have somebody who actually understands it way better than me to share with the audience.
And Jimmy, make sure that you do mention for the APTA users that they have an exclusive version of Enrich that is through the APTA's financial services, and that can be found at enrich.apta.org.
Now, how did
that
you guys
special content?
How did you guys get involved with the APTA? Because that's how we found out about this program, was reaching out to the association. Just one more thing that the APTA does. Explain how the APTA and iGrad Enrich is working together.
Well, it really just comes from the fact that there's many organizations out there, and the APTA is one of those, that has a membership that they're always looking to provide more and more beneficial services for. And one of the big trends across the country right now is providing their memberships or employees or clients with these financial resources. So we work with many different organizations, and the APTA came to us and basically said, hey, we know you are very strong in this area. You are one of the premier providers of financial education in the higher education space. Can you help us provide some of these resources to our membership, serving both those that are in school as well as those that have moved past school, because everybody faces financial challenges, and the APTA wants to make sure that their membership has great access to some great resources.
Love it. Yeah, I like to talk about the benefits of the APTA, and I love when I can highlight a thing that people didn't know existed that can help them right now in real ways, and they're maybe not utilizing it. And maybe if I mention it a couple times, one or two people jump on, and I'm thrilled about that. What was the way they can find that that link again?
So it's super easy. It's Enrich, which is E-N-R-I-C-H .APTA.org.
Perfect.
You can also connect to it if you just are browsing around the APTA site. There's links from the site directly to us.
Gotcha. Kevin Soner, the last thing we do on the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
If you were to leave the audience with one kind of mic drop moment, one thing they should hold near and dear to their hearts in terms of financial literacy, what's that parting shot from you?
One of the most shocking stats that I've ever heard since I got into financial literacy was that two-thirds of Americans, regardless of their paycheck, live paycheck to paycheck, or regardless wow. of the size of their paycheck, are living paycheck to paycheck. And so don't ever look out at society. We look at people and we think that they're in such a better position. You see that neighbor that's driving around in the Tesla in the real nice suit, and there's a good chance that they're upside down in their
wow.
finances. Don't take things on the surface. Some of the most financially literate and the most quote-unquote wealthy when it comes to debt versus actual wealth might be that person that you're working with who is the $15 an hour employee, because they're
yeah.
managing their money wisely. It's not about how much you make, it's about what you do with that money.
I like that. Yeah, be smart. You know, it reminds me of John Wooden, Coach Wooden from UCLA. Failing to plan is planning to fail, you know, and being financially illiterate can really shoot you in the foot.
Absolutely.
Again, igrad.com is the website, or you can check out enrich.org or enrich.apta.org. Kevin, appreciate your time. Don't think this is the last time we're going to reach out to you, because I think financial literacy, especially in this profession with the costs going up, is something PT students and PTs in general need to be better at. So appreciate you sharing some knowledge.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.